Holy smokes, guys. I think I just drilled the big one. Oh, yes.
Yes, that is the deer. Got piles of pictures of that deer. Oh, that is a beautiful buck.
That happened quick. Holy man, that looked like a really good bull. Pound it, man. Yes!
What's going on, guys? I am here with Brendan Earnhardt. This is another Non-Typical Nation podcast, and he's the owner of 222 Metalworks. We've partnered with Brendan for about a year now, and I just wanted to have you on this podcast, Brendan, because you are just extremely talented when it comes to your metalworks, your skull hangers, and just super creative. So I wanted to share what you do with our audience. And thanks for taking some time to chat with me today, Brendan.
Yeah, it's good to meet up with you and visit.
Yeah, appreciate it big time. So spring has sprung here. Snow is all gone, but you mentioned you still got snow flying there in, where are you, in southern Saskatchewan or whereabouts are you?
No, we're kind of central Saskatchewan we are. But our snow was gone, but it's just a Colorado Loaves come in and give us another little dump just to remind us it's not spring quite yet. But
yeah, for sure. Fair enough, man. And you guys are calving right now?
Yeah, just wrapping. Well, we're done calving. I got a few stragglers left now, but just trying to keep them healthy at this point.
Yeah, when the snow is flying, that can be tricky. Well, let's dive right into this, Brendan. So you own 222 Metalworks. I met you at the Parkland Outdoor Show in Yorkton last year. I was just super impressed with what you had, and I had to chat with you to somehow hook up and get some of your products with us here in Alberta. So I've got the taxidermy shop here in Alberta, and we've been, you know, selling your products and your hangers with all of our European mounts for a year now. Guys have been, you know, just super impressed with them. And I'm just curious, you know, how long have you been in this type of business, the metalworks business and the skull hanger business? How long have you been doing it, and how did you get into it?
Well, I've been doing it for probably close to 2 years now, but I was, well, going back 10 years, I was a welder, and then I became a journeyman welder, and then came back to the farm about 10 years ago after I got my journeyman's. And I was always just welding around the farm, doing different projects and stuff, but it's only so much you can build for yourself. And so I just wanted to find something that I could work in with farming and also do it on the side just because I like doing it. And I'm big into hunting and stuff and Euro mounts and all that. So I thought I would kind of go that road, I guess, to build stuff for Euro mounts and pedestals for deer and elk or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just kind of started with that and made a few things for myself, and guys liked it, so it just kind of snowballed, I guess.
Well, it really has. Like these last, I think, 6-9 months, man, you seem to be all over my Facebook and Instagram newsfeed. There's guys in Saskatchewan, BC, all over the place that are, you know, showcasing and using your hangers, you know, whether it's the trophy tower or the individual hangers. Now, what did the first hanger look like that you made? How did you sort of, you know, what did it look like, and what did you come up with for that first one? Was it just a simple rod that held the skull, or were you creative with that first one? What did it look like?
Well, actually, the first thing I ever made to do anything with hunting was was my personal best meal there with my bow in 2017, and I was going to get a pedestal mount. But I always had this idea in my head, it'd be cool to have a big broadhead that the deer sits on. So at that time I didn't have anything but a welder and a grinder and a hammer, basically. So I didn't have a plasma table or plasma cutter, none of that. So I drew very simple blades out by hand, and just basically a triangle, and I cut those out and I welded together and took it to the city and got it powder coated. And my taxidermist finished the base with rocks and stuff like that, and it turned out really awesome. And that was like totally done by hand with hand tools, and it looks good, but not like the ones I make now. But that was the very first thing I made. And then after that, I'm big into archery, and Euro mounts are kind of the new popular thing. Everybody's doing Euro mounts. So I thought making a big broadhead. Then I think the first thing I ever made for Euro mounts was a guy actually messaged me when I started this business, and he wanted a arrowhead that sat on the table with a deer head on it. So we come up with a rod, I guess, that comes up and over, and then the head sits over top of the broadhead, or the head sits over top of the broadhead. Yeah. And that was the first thing I did for a Euro mount, and it looked awesome.
Yeah, I love those tabletop broadhead mounts. They look super sharp. You know, it's nice. You can put them on a side table. You could put them on a ledge or a shelf, and they're just a great way to display that. So that large broadhead pedestal that you had at that trade show last year, that was the first thing you ever made?
Yeah, well, the one I had there wasn't my original one.
Okay.
That one I did with a plasma table. But my first one was just it's all black. There's no different colors or anything. It's pretty simple
you have in your photos on your webpage?
I posted it a long, long time ago. I see. Very first started, but I might post it one of these days here just to show people the original one.
That's super cool, man. Yeah, but that broadhead display pedestal mount is just incredible. It's super incredible. And it's amazing. You know, how the broadhead comes down and it's all anchored at the very bottom. So have you made a few more of those for guys since then?
Yeah, I've made quite a few, and I got a few more coming up. I'm actually working, but I've got it built, and I'm hoping to powder coat in the next couple of days here, but it's for an elk pedestal. So I don't want to say too much about it yet, because until I'm done it. Yeah, but that's going to be awesome. And it's got a base on the floor, and then the broadhead's on a 45-degree angle. And now with powder coating, I've got a vinyl cutter. So I'm going to cut the score out with stencils and the date and a few other things.
Nice.
So when I powder coat it, the blades will be powder coated. And then I put the stencils on, and also on the base with the date and some other stuff. And then I'm going to powder coat over it. And then when it's all done, the score is going to be powder coated into the blade with a different color. And the date's going to be powder coated into the base. So it's no cutting. Like, I could cut it out with the plasma too, but it's just something. It's going to look awesome.
Oh, that'll be super cool. And it's very neat how guys can reach out to you, and you can do these custom little things by adding the date, adding the score, or adding someone's name into that. It just adds that personal touch, something you can't go to the store and buy. And that's something that you offer. And it just, you know, when I first heard about you and went on your webpage, I was just amazed by how many different designs you have. You know, when it comes to showcasing your European mount or your bear skull or wolf skull, you've got upwards of, I think, 15 or 16 or maybe a bit more different designs to showcase that. Something from just a simple, cheap bracket to something a little bit more heavy duty, but just a simple bracket. And then you have the broadhead ones, you have the broadhead tabletops. And I've been seeing a few guys with those trophy hangers as well. Those have really been taken off lately, hey?
Yeah, the trophy tower is by far probably the most popular.
The trophy tower, that's right. So those stand right around 6 feet tall, I think.
Yeah, they're 6 feet tall, and you can hang, well, I sell them with five hangers, but you could hang, well, as many heads that fit, but I know guys have put five or six deer heads on, and then you can also put three or four bear heads or skulls. So you can hang a lot of stuff off of one. It saves a lot of space, and they look awesome.
Yeah. So what I'm doing in this podcast, as we're going over some of these products, I'm going to be adding the photos so people can see the photos while we're talking about it, because we're explaining it, but sometimes it's tough to imagine. So I'm going to put these photos up while we're discussing this. And that way people can see, you know, what these look like. And, you know, behind me here, we actually have Amy's bear that she got in Saskatchewan, and that is your bear silhouette, that one.
Yeah.
And you powder coated that one in purple for her. And again, just another personal touch that people can do. So guys can go on your webpage, place the orders. Now you do have a few things that are out of stock. If someone wants something like that, can they reach out to you and get their name on a list or something like that to have it done?
Yeah, for sure. They can. The trophy towers, I'm having a tough time keeping up making them. So I've got them out of stock because guys just keep messaging me.
Yeah.
Want me to build them. So I just don't want people buying them online and I can't get them filled right away. So, but yeah, anything you see on the website, if it's out of stock, just message me or email me or call me. All my info is on my page as well.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, like, everything is custom made, you know, and a lot of this stuff is custom made to order. So you don't want people placing orders expecting to have it in a week if you don't have already stock of that. So it's great that people can reach out to you and you're the one making these products. So you can do those custom touches or you can make sure that gets done when they want it done.
Yeah.
Now you also do wall decor. You know, I've seen you just released the Detroit Red Wings cutout for a guy and you did some logos for a few of the outfitters that we work with as well. Again, some custom things that people can get you to do. How has that been doing? Has that been taking off as well along with the skull hangers?
Yeah, that's like
just as busy
as the hunting side of it. It's a lot, like so many farm signs and like hockey logos by any sports. There's just lots of everybody mess with their different things of all kinds.
Exactly. So, man, you could be in the shop probably 300 days a year just getting this stuff done, right?
Yeah, it is. It gets hard to sometimes. I'm in the shop till midnight or 1 a.m. just to try somewhat keep up because with obviously we got other stuff going on too. So it's
for sure
kind of. And it's sometimes a year it's not bad. Like say we were just finished calving, so I didn't really get a lot of time. But I hate saying no to people, so I just put them on the list and tell them it's going to be a month or whatever. So I got a big list of stuff that still needs to be done. But it's kind of, and seeding's coming up. So pretty soon here, stuff will just get put off till June and then.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And the way I look at it, when it comes to taxidermy and when it comes to, you know, displaying your trophy, that's something that you're going to have and you're going to want to showcase for the rest of your life. So if you got to wait 3 months or 6 months, 9 months, a year, or, you know, sometimes even 2 years, so be it, because you're going to want a good job with that product. You're going to want that to be something you want to show off and not hide in the corner, right? So something like what you do, I think most guys, they understand that, you know, if you want a unique bracket, something custom, you're going to have to wait a little bit because not everyone can do that. And a lot of people don't have the talent like you do. So, you know, there's obviously a demand for it and sometimes you got to wait. So I think that's totally understandable, but you do have stock of, brackets on your webpage. So if someone did want to order something, they could place that order. It's more the larger ones. It looks like that you're, out of stock or taking orders on right now.
Yeah. The smaller stuff, it's even if I don't have any on hand, I can make them up pretty quick.
Exactly.
Even if I'm busy, but just, and I've never had an issue. Everybody's fine with
waiting. Exactly.
It's not ever a rush to, your head's not going anywhere.
That's if you the have way to I look wait at it.
2 or 3 months to hang it up. You can hang it on a whatever hanger, lay it on in the corner for 2 months and then until you get your custom hanger, whatever you've ordered.
That's right. And then you got it forever, right? To show things off. So do you have one or two items that are the most popular?
Well, the trophy tower for sure is the most popular. And then actually a lot of the, I just call it an oval moose or deer bracket. Those are pretty popular. I've sold tons of those. And they're just, they're nice. You stick them on the wall and your head sits on it and they're pretty well hidden. So all you see is your skull. And those are really popular. And then the pedestals for shoulder mounts are getting really popular too. I've been making quite a few of those.
Yeah, those are really sharp. But yeah, that oval hanger for your moose and elk, and even the smaller deer hanger, that's the one we use for all of our moose and elk. and our deer and whatnot. So they work really well. They're built nice and heavy duty, so you don't have to, you know, worry about that thing ever coming down. But no, we really like those. Now, yourself, do you clean your own skulls, or do you bring them to a guy who does them for you, or what do you usually do with those?
No, I don't. I never did get into that, but I got a good friend of mine, just about an hour away from me here. He does lots of them, so I just take all my stuff down to him. And anybody that asks me, I get a few guys asking me if I'm building them a hanger, if I can do their heads too, and I just basically send them down to him. So it works out good for him too.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, it is a job, you know. Like, we do upwards of, geez, I would say, if you add all the bear skulls we do and then the deer and moose and elk, probably right around 60 to 80 skulls a year. So we do a lot of them. Now, we tried beetles. We used them for a while, but we just weren't set up great for them. And just with the volume of skulls that we do, they just couldn't keep up. So we ended up going back to essentially what we do is we clean all of the meat off that skull with a knife, get as much as you can off, get the brains out of that. And then we put it in simmering water, and we only leave them in there for right around 10 or 15 minutes, just enough to soften that meat up. And that's where a lot of guys go wrong, is they'll actually overboil that skull. They'll leave it in that boiling water for 45 minutes, an hour, or even more, just to get all that meat off. But what we do is we only leave it in there for 15 minutes or so, take it out, and then we pressure wash it, and that gets all the meat off. And it make sure that, you know, there's no membrane or anything underneath, and it works out really, really well. But the secret to skulls, and I'm going to share it right now, what we do is, so we whiten that skull, and once it's all done, we actually put a thick sealer on it. So that skull will never crack. The teeth will never fall out. They'll never chip or anything like that. I've seen skulls that guys have done. They've had them sitting on a countertop or something, and the bone actually flakes over time sometimes if it's been overboiled or over whitened. So we put that sealer on so it'll never flake or anything like that. But it really is a job. And I think for yourself, you got to pick your battles, right? If you started doing that too, man, you'd have no sleep at night.
Yeah, no, I can't only do so much.
Yeah. So, and that's like us, right? Like, we charge, what are we at? I think we're at $300 for a bear skull. Our deer, we're at $475. And then our moose, we're at $650. Elk, we're at $575. And then we include one of your brackets in that price for our clients. Now, you know, we charge that just because, you know, we figure out how long it takes us. And, you know, it really is a messy job. It's not a clean job. It's not something I'd want to do in my kitchen, that's for sure. Right. So we actually don't do them in the wintertime, but once spring, summer, and fall is here, we're outside pressure washing those skulls and cleaning them up. But a lot of people ask me how to do it, and I share it with them, because if they want to do it, great. But it is a dirty job. It's not a fun job.
That's for sure. I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah, but hey, we do a ton of them, right? We do a lot of them. And if guys are willing to pay to get them done, which, you know, most guys are, and with us, they know they're going to get them done properly, we're okay with doing it. But again, it's not something I'd want to do at my house. But yeah, I was curious. I see you have a red stag there behind you. When did you go on that hunt?
Oh, that was 2016. Me and my wife went over there.
Nice.
So yeah, it was unbelievable. Got a stag and a tar. He's my cat. So he's over farther on the wall here. And then on Arapaho Ram, shot my bow over there.
Really?
Oh yeah, just beautiful. I'd love to go back there, just not even to hunt, just a tour.
Really?
Such a nice country over there. Have you ever been over there?
No, I haven't. Wow. No, I haven't. But we've done quite a few Arapaho Rams and, you know, a few stags, a few tars. Those rams are neat little animals.
Yeah, they are. They're kind of funny.
They're funny looking. Yeah, they've got just the thickest, curliest hair you could find out of any animal, really. I don't know anything that has the hair they do. They're neat looking critters.
That's what our guide said, that those things, they're useless. They used to be farmed years ago in New Zealand, and the fur or the wool, was you couldn't do anything with it, so all the ranchers or whatever just let them go because they didn't want them, and now they're running all over the place over there.
Is that no what predators. Happened?
Yeah.
Because
it's such a thick, wiry wool that they couldn't use it, so they just turned them loose. And there's no predators in New Zealand. Their biggest predator is like a hawk and a feral cat.
Yeah.
So nothing kills them other than hunters.
Yeah.
So, and the farmers, they get overrun with lots of stuff there. And wallabies, too. We hunted those. That was a different. That was
Did
fun.
You get one?
Yeah, I got 16 of them.
Oh.
Yeah, they're like gophers over there. They,
yeah.
We went out at night with a spotlight.
Yeah.
And they're just jumping everywhere. They're tough. We used a 243, actually.
No way.
Jim, that was my guide's name. We just drove around the fields and he'd spotlight and they'd be hopping all over the place and he'd just line up on them and they just, the farmers want to get rid of them because they destroy the crops.
Super cool. Yeah. So we actually, one of the clients who came from New Zealand, we did like, I think three stag, a few Arapawa ram, and we did a life-size wallaby for him. And, you know, just like a little mini kangaroo, essentially, is what they are. And they're just, we actually did an Australian possum for him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see any of those there?
No, I didn't see a possum. I seen a little hedgehog we saw.
Okay.
One night, I guess they're wild there, too. But we didn't see any possums. And actually, talking about mounting the wallabies, he asked me, too, because I shot one big one as a big male. And he asked me if I wanted to take it home. But first, my wife said no. But I was not really interested in mounting one anyway. But they would be kind of a cool-looking thing.
Right on, man. If you don't mind me asking, who did you go hunting with?
Jim Gibson's his name. For New Zealand Safaris.
Okay.
His outfitter's company. And he's an awesome guy. Just a He's a rodeo guy. He used to live in Alberta, actually, when he was younger and did a bit of the rodeo circuit.
Okay.
And picks you up from the airport, and as soon as you meet him, it's like you're perfect, like knowing him forever. He just starts visiting with you, and he swears like a sailor, which was funny because he just, I don't know, just such a likable guy.
Yeah, so he's a Canadian living in New Zealand now.
No, he's in New Zealand, but he moved over here when he was young.
Oh, I see.
And then moved back, So, yeah, he's originally from New Zealand.
Cool. Well, there's a plug for him. I might have to check that out. It's definitely something we'd like to do for sure. It sounds you like you went with a great guy.
Yeah, he'd be the guy to go with. I could get you in touch with him because he's an awesome guy.
Super, super cool. Now, what do you have planned this year for hunts? You know, you're in just prime mule deer country there. Big whitetails in your area too. What's the game plan this year?
Well, first we'll see when the draws. We put in for the draws in May here coming up, so we'll see what happens there. Hopefully, elk tag's about the only thing I'd probably get drawn for, but as far as hunting, I'll be definitely whitetails and mule deer. Yep. Hopefully get up north for moose and elk a bit, and bear hunting this spring. We'll always try to get up, at least for not a lot of time, but one weekend, hopefully two.
Nice.
And hunt bears, but my oldest son, he starts hunting this fall. He turns 12 in September, so that'll be the main focus this year is getting him on a whitetail and hopefully a mule there too with his bow.
Oh, that's super exciting, man. Good for you guys. Right on.
Yeah.
Now that elk tag, what's the priority like for that in your area? Or how long do you got to wait for a tag?
That's tough. We got the legacy pool, so it's
10
years to get into that. And then there's only 10 tags usually when
there's a draw.
So it's like not very good odds to get a tag.
But you might get one this year? So you're in that legacy pool?
No, I'm not in legacy.
Oh, yet. I see.
So I won't. That's the only thing. That's the only thing I'm super A for. So nothing else I have a chance at. But elk, there's, you don't have to be in legacy, but it's I'd say I got about a 0.5% chance of getting a tag. So
now, what do you coming from a Saskatchewan perspective here? What do you think of your guys' draw system? Do you like it, or would you prefer more of a priority system like Alberta?
I don't really know how Alberta's.
So how Alberta's works is every year you put in, you get a point. Okay, so if I've been putting in for 14 years, And there's a guy who has 10 points. I will get it before him every day. So whoever has the highest points entering that draw will get it. So like Antelope, for example, there's zones down south where, you know, last year you can look and they gave out, say, 300 tags and it says, you know, 270 guys with 13 points got it. And then 30 guys with 12 points got it. So I know this year going into that draw that if I have 13 or 12 points is a good chance of me getting it. But that means no one with lower points than me will ever get it. So whoever has the highest points is guaranteed to get it before the next guy.
And then like you guys have, or you're probably familiar with our draw season and zones. Are your zones smaller than ours?
So they are. You guys have larger zones in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, that's one thing I would like. And you're still going to get, like, where the cities are close to, those zones are still going to get the most applicants. But
yeah,
be nice to see small, I don't know if it would help, but smaller zones than more locals, I think, would put in for their zones more.
Exactly.
And having one big, I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
But it's tough to, well, there's so many people been putting in lately and the tags.
Because like so to get into that very top pool in Saskatchewan, that's now called the Legacy Pool.
Yeah.
And they just added that a few years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I think 4 years ago, maybe.
Whatever. And so how many years do you have to wait to get into that pool?
So you go, so say you get drawn for something, then you drop to the D and it takes you 4 years or whatever, 5 years to get back to Super A, which used to be our top priority pool. But then with the amount of people putting in and the amount of tags, the Super A was, there are so many people in it that your chance of getting drawn was very small. So then everybody was complaining. So they added the Legacy Pool, which is essentially the same as the Super A, but you got to wait 10 years from Super A. You got to be in Super A 10 years to get to Legacy, which is fine for the first few years they had it, because there wouldn't be many guys in Legacy. But
that's right.
The Legacy is going to be no different than the Super A.
Exactly.
Soon. So all it's making is, I'd rather just have it how it was, where me and you are both in Super A, so we have the same chance, but you'd only have to wait 5 years to have a chance. Now you're waiting 15 years.
Yeah, and so once you get to that top pool, then it's just a total draw with everyone in that pool to get those, you know, 100 tags or 50 tags or whatever it is.
Yeah, so like you guys, it'd be better if there was a point system, so you got to, say, hit Legacy and then get a point every year. At least you know you're still advancing.
Yeah.
Whereas Legacy,
it's nice. I kind of like the way we do it because, for example, I look at the zones I want to hunt and they'll release the stats from last year. And it'll say, for example, where I like to moose hunt, last year they gave out 60 tags and the lowest priority that got a tag was a 6 priority. So I know this year that with 6 priority, there's a possibility that I should be able to draw that tag unless they drastically reduce the tag amount. Yeah. But it helps us sort of plan our hunts for the fall ahead of time, because if you look into it and actually study how it works, you can almost project what tags you're going to draw.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be better than for sure what we have.
Now, the only downfall for that is, say, Antelope, for example, you know, once I have 12 or 13 points, there's going to be more people with those points, because as time goes, there's more hunters building points. It might take me 14 years to draw that tag. Where if we had your model for that, once I hit that Super A at 10, I have the same chances of drawing that tag at 10 as I would with 14 or 15.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's 6 of one, half a dozen of another. I don't mind the way we do it. I think it's all right. But your guys is, it doesn't really allow you to try and plan for, you know, the future ahead until you draw that tag, obviously.
Yeah. And it's, well, like a lot of guys too, they'll be in Super A for everything. and then also never get drawn for nothing. And then all
exactly
of a sudden they get a moose and an elk and a mule deer, like three, and
yeah,
you can't give it up and save. I don't think you can anyway. Oh yeah, you can give, if you get drawn for three things, I think you can turn one down.
Oh really? And, I didn't
and
know that.
Keep your priority.
Interesting. But,
like if you get drawn for moose and elk, you can't turn one down, and you don't need all that meat in 1 year. Most people don't.
Exactly.
But you're not going to turn, oh, I know, I wouldn't, you're not going to turn one of those tags down.
No, because it might take you another 5 or 6 years to draw that tag, because it's just the luck of the draw.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, there's not really a good answer. There's only so many animals and so many people putting in. So, no matter what you do, nothing's going to make everybody happy. And it's just how it is.
But you guys still have a general mule deer season, right? For crossbow and archery, I believe. And
just for archery. There's a couple zones. We got two zones, Regina and Saskatoon zone, where you can hunt crossbow.
Okay.
But all the other zones, or I don't know if there's one up north, but those two for sure is crossbow and archery. But the rest of them is just vertical bows. But there is a season for 2 months long, which is awesome.
Nice. Because
that's my favorite season.
Yeah, that's one thing I do like about Saskatchewan. It makes a lot of sense to me, is how you have your three seasons. So you have your archery season, which is right around a month. Then you have your mid-season, which is archery, crossbow, muzzleloader, right?
Yeah.
And then
your
final season, which is shorter, is the rifle season.
Yeah.
I really like that, because it promotes, you know, folks to get into archery, where we are up here, archery season is from, like, for whitetails north of town here, archery is April or August 26th, and it runs until September 1st. And then rifle is September 1st until the end of November.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not.
So I'm sitting in the tree stand, like, September 8th, wait, trying to get a velvet deer, and there's guns going off all around me, and it's just mayhem. Now, if you go a little bit further south, what they do is archery runs until the end of October, and then rifle starts November 1st till the end of November. But I wish we had that sort of middle season, you know, with crossbow and muzzleloader, and then the final season with rifle shortened to a few weeks, because things just get pressured super hard when you have guys, you know, driving around first week of September trying to find deer with a rifle.
Well, you get a lot of more deer get shot that way too, with rifle being open so long.
Exactly.
Like archery is way less success rate, but you'd have probably, if you did have a just archery season, you have way more people hunting.
Yeah.
And not impacting the deer population as much, which is always a bonus.
Yeah.
Like rifle, like everybody's, it's a lot easier to get a deer with a gun. So a lot more guys tag out.
Yeah.
Like on a season that long.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Like if we go where we elk hunt, September 17th is when our rifle elk starts. So that is right, you know, right in the middle or right at the start of that elk rut. And, you know, that first week of rifle season, man, it's known just to be absolutely crazy, because it's a general elk tag in most of Alberta. And these zones, it's like the one morning, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, I went elk hunting, and I have a couple hours to travel to get where I want to go. So I left that morning, got there like an hour before hunting start time, and every access point I went to, you know, drainage, field, there was a vehicle at every single one, and it was opening of rifle, and it's just
crazy.
So last few years, we've started to hunt them early in archery season, and, you know, we've had bulls screaming at us as early as that first week of September. If you get in at the right spots, you know, sometimes if you're a ways out, they won't be overly vocal, but once you get right in close, you know, they can get loud. So we're excited for this year, you know, hit them early in archery season, and we might even overlap that rifle a little bit. So get the last few days of archery, first few of rifle, and see how that goes. But totally general tag for elk in Alberta. But you guys with that draw tag, we have been seeing lately just some incredible elk coming out of Saskatchewan.
Yeah, there's some big bulls in certain zones, which, like, back, it's hard to get that tag, but it's a tag of a lifetime if you ever do get it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right on. So you're doing some bear hunting this spring?
Hopefully, won't be until end of June. But
you guys baiting or spotting stock? What do you typically do?
Baiting for the archery, yeah.
Nice.
I live too far away to. I'm too far to bait bears and stuff. So I got a couple friends up in northern Saskatchewan, so they're always baiting and hunting. So we basically just go hunt their stands when we get a minute. They're good with that.
Yeah, we're heading to Blaine Lake, actually, and hunting along the North Saskatchewan River, fishing in the mornings and afternoon, and then hunting the evenings again this year. We're going to head there the third week, I think it is, of May. So we're super excited about that. You know, we've caught some sturgeon on that North Saskatchewan last year, so that was fun. And I got a nice colored bear, a blonde one. My wife got a big black one. So we're excited to return to Saskatchewan and do some bear hunting. It's a beautiful country up there. You know, it's a nice combination of the agriculture up top, and then you get into the valleys. And, you know, we've seen a ton of elk there last year. We've seen some moose, a lot of deer, and obviously a lot of bears too. It's a pretty diverse country of critters around there.
Yeah, well, that's where we basically hunt bears straight east. Just west of Prince Albert's where we go.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's not terribly far from you.
Yeah.
It's fun. Cool. I never started bear hunting until I met Tyler's his name. I met him about 4 years ago. And I shot one bear when I was moose hunting 10 years ago with a rifle. I had a tag, and it was the last day of bear season. I just happened to see it when I was looking for moose. But I never really hunted bears till 4 years ago. He invited us up, and it was a blast. I don't even care if I shoot. I shot one the second year we were up there. But it's just fun watching the bears. Nice. Like, they have their own personalities.
Oh, man, it's so much fun.
I just like to go just to watch them.
Oh, yeah, we love it. We've been doing it every year for a few years now, and every year we get a few bears. And, you know, for us up here, at least where we are, you can get two bears per person. There's just so many bears around, and it's more of a predator control thing than anything for us up here, you know. Bears are the biggest killer of moose calves. And, you know, when those moose are giving birth in the springtime, a bear can smell them from a mile away, and they'll definitely tear out one of those calves. And, you know, that's one less moose. So it's as much a predator thing as it is, you know, a meat hunt for us. We usually will take the back quarters, take the back straps, and they have beautiful hides too. So we'll do something with that. But there's a lot of them. So it's as much just to control their population as it is, you know, anything else for us.
That's the same. Saskatchewan too, they change it to a two-tag season for that exact reason. There's not a lot of guys bear hunt overall, like throughout the province.
I think that's deer. Why.
So it's, and guys that do hunt bears lots, you're not just, you're trophy hunting for bigger bears. Usually you're not just going to shoot bears, but if they got the two tags, maybe guys would be more inclined to still harvest a bear and still have a tag in case you did want to try to get a big one.
Exactly.
I think.
Yeah. No, exactly. And then that's usually what we'll do, is we'll get one in the spring. And then in the fall, you never know. There's been a lot of times where we've seen some really big bears in the fall, or some colored bears or something extra. So it's nice to have that second tag. Okay, so I've got a couple of random questions for you. Every week on social media, we put out a question to our followers, and we always get, you know, just a ton of cool comments and responses. Now, the one we did here last week was, did you ever skip school to go hunting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Always the first day of season, for sure. I got to go with Dad for the day, and then my mom wouldn't let me miss too many days, but for sure, always opening day.
Nice. Right on. Was there any memorable moments, any deer killed, you know, opening day or when you were skipping out?
Oh, yeah, I remember. I still have my first deer. I don't remember if it was the first day or not, but I remember it was just a little tiny. I think he had 3 points, but
nice.
Basically a spiker. But I was hunting deer, and, you know, you get buck fever, and couldn't hit anything. And finally, this deer, I remember my dad had an old Ford two-wheel drive truck, and we had a round bale in the back because we didn't have four-wheel drive, and the snow was deep enough. And we're driving in the fields with that thing. And this deer come out of a little rock pile slough. And I got out, I shot him, and Dad, he knew I hit him good the first shot, but I unloaded my clip. The deer went running, and I was shooting and shooting and shooting. I was not hitting anywhere close to him. And Dad's yelling at me to quit shooting because he's going to be dead anyway.
Yeah. But
I was so happy when we got that deer and strapped him onto end gate with binder twine behind the round bale and took him straight to my grandpa's place.
Nice.
To show him because that was my first deer. Never
so proud,
that.
Eh?
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's cool, man. It's just like an internal instinct, right? Like, even if you watch kids catch a fish or, you know, shoot their first deer, something they haven't experienced before and don't really know a whole lot about, but it's just like it's an internal instinct to harvest something and, you know, then just show it to people and be proud of it because, you know, that's going to feed someone or, you know, it's just, it's in all of us, man. And I would bet that if I brought someone who is an anti-hunter and just said, hey, clear your mind for a couple days, let's go get a deer, I would bet they'd have the same emotions you did when you killed that deer.
Yeah.
It's just an internal thing that a lot of people don't totally understand, but if they actually did it, I think they would.
Yeah, because it's not about killing the deer. That's not it at all. It's the whole experience. And like you said, you make sausage or I eat lots of sausage and steak and stuff. Your freezer's full of meat that you went and got on your own.
Yeah, and then showing people and providing and sharing it with them, right? That's that's what it's all about.
And experiences like that was with my dad. Like, I've hunted lots with him, but you'll never, ever forget that.
No.
So it's,
so you did skip school to go hunting.
Yeah. Sometimes mom was a little sticky on it, but always weaseled a couple days a year.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, Brendan, thanks so much, man, for taking some time and chatting with me. Share your webpage with everybody and your social media handles so they can find you online.
Yeah. So you can go to 222metalworks.com. That's my webpage. There's a online store and stuff on there. And my contact info is on there. And also Facebook and Instagram, 222metalworks. I post a lot of the stuff that I do is so many different things from signs to hunting displays, you name it. So check out Instagram and Facebook, both under that name, and contact me through that as well if you got anything, any ideas that you want or to look into or get something made up.
Right on, Brendan. Well, thanks so much for doing this, man. I greatly appreciate it. And all the best this spring bear season.
Yeah, you too. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, man. Take care of those calves, eh?
Yeah, you betcha.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, bye.